There was overabundance of spiritual gifts in the church. They had all kind of gifts. There was all kind of problems, but there was all kind of gifts. And so Paul says to them that in the midst of all this, all these gifts that you have, you've forgotten one thing, and that's it.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of Love. People don't care what you know until they know that you care, part one. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Love. People don't care what you know until they know that you care, part one.
And 100%. When you think about agape in the believer, look what I've put down here. And this lets us know that we have no alternative. There's no choice. You know, agape and the believer. Agape is the key characteristic of the followers of Christ. That back in the days of the early days of the church, that one of the things that they said about Christians is, oh, how they love one another. One of the key things that was seen in the early church was the fact that these early believers loved one another. Can they say that as they walk into Bethany? You know, y'all know me. I shoot straight from the hip. I don't hold anything back. You know, I've had people that have come here and have said, man, visitors, that is one of the most loving churches. I mean, and they will rant and rave on and on. And praise God that I hear that from most of our visitors. That, you know, that the love there, you know, thank God for, like, we have greeters in the hallway every Sunday morning. So that hopefully people don't get in here without getting greeted by somebody. And even going outside, you know, that we have friendly people working out in the parking lot, and that people can feel the love from the time that they drive up here. And so people are saying, man, I love the church. I love the people. It's friendly. And some people have joined based on that. But I'll be honest with you, there's been other people that felt they got the cold shoulder, that felt that we didn't reach out, that felt we weren't one. And so that's why when we exercise agape, you know, it can't be sometimes. We've got to exercise agape at all times. We got to exercise this 100% love so that people will feel the love, because that was the characteristic of the first church. And even in the scripture, it lets us know that Jesus said that you shall know them. You shall know them by their love. What would people know about you? By your love. If they looked at you, and the way that you acted, and the way that you treat, what would they know about you? And I hope to God that each one of us, and you know, I know that we all have bad days. You know, all of us have bad days. So I believe that God chops those off. Okay, I give you that. But you can't continuously have a bad day now. You know, there's got to be mostly good days where you can count and you can show the love, because this is a characteristic of the child of God. We see that agape for our fellow man covers all the commandments related to man. Did somebody say, if I wanted to follow one commandment that scripture gives me in the Old Testament, there were 632 commandments. And somebody say, well, I want to follow, you know what? I want to get my heart right. I want to do right. And I want to follow one commandment. Well, we know what the first one would be. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. But that's kind of subjective, right? I mean, I can't tell if you, I mean, that you might give me some evidence if you're loving God with all your heart, soul, mind. But I mean, if somebody, you know, they might have their own special relationship with God, and they might be loving God with all their heart, soul, and mind, and I might not be able to tell. All right? So let's move on. Let's move on to the next one. If I could follow one commandment that God would give me, what would it be? That you love your neighbor. Because you see, if you look at a lot of those 600, watch this. This is deep, man. If you look at a lot of those 632 laws, go back in the Old Testament, read the 632 laws found in the Pentateuch, the Old Testament, in the first five books of Moses. Go back and read. Most of those laws relate to what? Our relationship with other people. That's why that's such a great commandment. Because it relates to other people. And if we are loving other people like we should, then we can be assured that for the most part, we are following the commandments that God has set for us. Agape for fellow man covers all of God's commandments related to man. God, now somebody say, well, you know, I can't love. You know, I was abused growing up. You know, I grew up in a family where they didn't show love. I grew up in a family where we were neglected, where people never paid attention to us. Okay, I understand that. I give you that. But since you become a Christian, let me tell you what's happened in your life. According to Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, the Bible says that the love of God has been shed abroad in your hearts through Christ Jesus. So now you got a different heart. You have, whereas one time you didn't have the ability to love, now you do have the ability to love. Now it may take some work. You may have to work through some issues, but the potential for you to love is there. Because the Holy Spirit resides in your heart. There's no reason for the child of God not to have love in their heart. You know, there are some things about people we might not like, but we should not allow that to keep us from loving them. You know, I would hope, and I've said this before, and I would hope that if somebody who was homosexual, if they came here, that they would feel the love of God. Now, at some point, we're going to get into the scripture and say this is what the scripture says. But I would hope that just because we wouldn't agree with somebody's lifestyle, that we wouldn't agree with some things that they were doing, that would not affect how we love them. That God loves them. That God's love is not diminished toward any of his creatures, and that he doesn't pull back his love at all. And I would to God that people could come and know that Bethany is a place that they might not agree with everything I do. They might not agree with my lifestyle. But one thing I can say about them is that they love me, because the love of God is up in that place. And if the love of God is up in here, people ought to be able to feel that love when they come into this place. Now, I know, you know, I've been in congregations where the pastors have blasted people that have been living sinful lifestyles. And again, not that we agree with their lifestyle. You know, the scripture is very clear about some things. And so we don't condone a person's lifestyle if it's a sinful life. We don't, but man, we still got to love them. We got to open up our hearts. And we got to love folk. And if we have the love of God in our heart, we should be able to do that. And if we struggle with that, then it may be an indication where we are in our love with God's love in our heart. Maybe it's not abiding and residing there like it should. And we need to deal with that issue. God teaches us that we should agape one another. And then we see that there are commandments in the scripture that tell us that we need to agape. Commandments, as I was telling a group of people this morning, not suggestions, not wishes, not hopes, but these are commandments. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 1, follow after agape. Colossians 3:14, put on agape. 1 Thessalonians 3:12, Philippians 1:9, increase and abound in agape towards one another. 2 Corinthians 8:8, be sincere in agape. 1 Peter 4:8, be fervent in agape. Hebrews 10:24, provoke one another to agape. Can't get around it. Can't get around it. So in the time that I have left this morning, let's talk about the power of love. Let's talk about the power. How powerful is love? And Paul lets us know in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, he lets us know the power of love. In verse 1, he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Paul says that though I'm able to speak and dazzle men with my command of the English language, though I can put nouns and verbs together and tie in a few adjectives and spin theological word games around people's heads, even though I can rouse a crowd and preach in such a way where I have folks standing up shouting and clapping, though I can do that and have not love, he said, I've become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Can you imagine? As God looks down from heaven and he sees preachers preaching the word of God and people jumping up and shouting and getting excited and waving their hands and falling out and speaking in all kind of different languages, as God looks at that, and if the person up there is not filled with love and they're not doing it because they love the people and they want the people to be right with God and they want the people to know what God says and they want people to follow after God's word, and that's not the reason that they're standing up there doing it. In heaven, you know what it is? It's just like a bunch of kids that don't have any idea how to play an instrument, getting on some drums and getting on some cymbals and just banging and clanging and making a bunch of noise. Paul said, that's what it's like in the ears of God. It's just a bunch of noise. It's just a bunch of religious noise. I don't know about you, but I don't want to make a bunch of religious noise. You know, I want God to look down and see my service as an act of love. That as I do things, as I prepare messages, that I'm preparing it with the congregation in mind, hoping that I can impart to them some spiritual wisdom to help them be able to live in such a way that God would be pleased. And I've said on many occasions, I'm not all that overwhelmed and overtaken when somebody says good message, even though I like to hear it. The thing that really rings and resonates in my spirit is when somebody said, man, you said something today that hit me. You said something today that I got to deal with. You said something today that helped me. Why? Because I love y'all. And I want you to do right. I want you to be right. I want you to serve God. I want you to love God. And I don't want to be up here. I'll be honest with you. I can sit down and I can put a message together that I have people shouting every time. You know, some people say, now see, I'm getting ready to let you in on a little secret, right? Some people say, well, Pastor, you know what? Why you preach? It seems like you preach different when you leave Bethany. When you go somewhere, you know, you preach different. You know, it seems like, you know, people say, man, people get energized and no, because yeah, some of y'all been there, right? And so I say, you know, it's like this is my philosophy, right or wrong, and I probably shouldn't tell y'all this, but right or wrong, you know, my philosophy, most of the time I'm going to an afternoon program, all right? And, you know, people have been in church all day. They're kind of, you know, like, okay, we just here for what, if we're honoring somebody, that's why we're here. You know, if we're honoring the deacons or the deaconess, that's why we're here. If we're having a service for a brother or sister so-and-so getting licensed or ordained, that's why we're here. All right, that's why we did. So I said, you know what? I'm just going to go in, you know, fire it up a little bit, right? I can do that. All right. And I try to give the word. Now, you know, I tell brothers, I said, don't get me shouting and don't tell me anything. Don't get me shouting and don't tell me anything. All right. So I try to tell people something. All right. But when I come here, my mindset, I love the people that I'm preaching to and when I'm not here. But on Sunday morning, I know that this is the flock that God has given me to feed. I want y'all to get it. I want you to get it. And so I don't want to be up here making folks shout and become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Man, I want the word of God to get in your heart, to get in your spirit. And so Paul, he lets us know. He says that even though we can speak with eloquent speech, if there's no love in it, it's just a bunch of noise. The second thing that Paul tells us is in verse 2. He says, and though I have the gift of prophecy, and though I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And so Paul says here, supernatural abilities minus love equals nothing. Look at the things that he said he can do. Prophesy. I can tell the future. I have the gift to be able to tell the future. He said, I know all mysteries, all knowledge, and all faith. And as a matter of fact, you can know things that only God knows. Where do you get that from? He says right here. He says, though I know all mysteries, who knows all mysteries? God. Who has all knowledge? God. You can know what God knows. And if you don't have love, it's nothing. It's nothing. You often think, you know, just think about this for a second. What is the difference between a superhero and a villain that has all power? What is the difference between, you know, we all seen, you know, everybody, every superhero has their arch enemy, right? And the arch enemy always has powers and ability that's almost equal to the superhero. But what is the one thing that sets the superhero apart from the arch enemy? Love, right? Because why did Superman fight for Metropolis? Because he loved it and he wanted the best for it. Why did all the arch enemies want to destroy it? Because they hated it. They wanted to take it over. What's the difference? What's the difference between all the abilities that you have if you're not infusing them with love? That all these gifts and all these skills and all these abilities that you have, to even take the gift of teaching. If you have the gift of teaching and you don't have love, and I've seen this, oh my God, I've seen this. Pastors will get up and beat folks down. Just beat them up. I had one person come to me and they said, Pastor Glaze, they said, every Sunday I go to church, I feel like I just got beat down. I feel like I just get beat up every Sunday. And so you can have the gift of teaching, where you can explain all the theological principles, you can extract from the Greek and the Hebrew, and you can understand all the deep theological issues and be able to break them down and explain them in such a way where people will get it. But if you don't have love, what does it mean? What does it mean? Love will change your heart in reference to what you do. If you got a bad attitude about doing something, let the love of God come in your heart. And if you allow the love of God to come into your heart, I guarantee you that your attitude will change. If you will, oh man, you don't understand what I'm saying. I'm saying this because I know what I'm talking about. That if you've got a bad attitude about something you have to do, and you just let the love of God come in your heart, You let that Romans, go back and read Romans 5:5. And you let the love of God flow in your heart. It'll change your attitude. And so your gifts will become meaningful. You will understand that your gifts are meaningful and you're using your gifts out of motivated and driven out of love. And so the third thing that I want to say about the power of love today is in verse 3. And here Paul says, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profits me nothing. Though I come to the master's kitchen every Friday and serve and wipe tables and cook food and serve food, if I don't have love, it profits me nothing. Though I chop off one of my fingers to show someone that I'm sacrificing for you, and I don't have love, it means absolutely nothing. Though I give things up," and you know there's a lot of people that will give things up outwardly so they can say to somebody, "I've given this up," but you don't have love, it meant nothing. It was interesting sometimes in counseling, you know, people will talk about what they gave up and what they stopped doing. And basically, the reason that they did it was to shut the other person's mouth. Oh, y'all know what I'm talking about. Come on now. That's all right. Amen, screen. And they did it, but there was no love. There was no love. And so even though you're making this sacrifice to shut the other person's mouth, it meant absolutely nothing. Other than maybe the other person's mouth was shut. But as far as God looking down at it, it meant absolutely nothing. Paul, he's getting deep here. He says, though I bestowed all my goods to feed the poor, though I gave up everything I had to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profits me nothing. So I'll finish with the way I opened. People don't care what you know until they know what you care. Know that you care. That's the bottom line. You know, I think of all the knowledge that I got in seminary. I mean, in seminary, I learned how to go back and look at the ancient manuscripts, the Greek and the Hebrew, and to be able to look at that and read it and decipher it, understand where these manuscripts came from, how we got them and all that. Understand and know all that. And there's a lot of guys that do that, but don't have love. What good does it do? What good does a seminary education do you if you can just sit back and spout off a bunch of facts and give out a bunch of knowledge? What good does it do you if it's not infused with love? So, saints, I'm asking the question. Do you want your service to be meaningful? Whether it's in your family, on your job, in your church, in your community, do you want your service to be meaningful? Then you have to let it be motivated. Bye.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Love. People don't care what you know until they know that you care, part 2. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Love, People Don't Care What You Know Until They Know That You Care, Part 1, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Love, People Don't Care What You Know Until They Know That You Care, Part 1. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Love, People Don't Care What You Know Until They Know That You Care, Part 1. or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.